Hey, Dr. Joy Pugh, welcome back to The Edge.
Thank you for having me back on your show. It means so much to get the opportunity to be on your show. I just love it.
Well, heck yeah, man. No, I put a note in the Facebook, and to all the Facebook friends. I said, hey, y'all really bored. You're going from room to room looking for adventure. You might as well tune into The Edge with Daniel and Dr. Joy there and have some fun and learn some stuff tonight.
I think so. I'm sure there's a lot of people having to sit in their homes and feel really this world is becoming a very serious place to live. And I hope that we can shed some light on that tonight with this kind of topics that we're going to be discussing.
Mm-hmm. You've been involved in prophecy, I believe, since age six, I think. Is that did you have a prophetic dream or something around that time? Can you tell us, draw us back to there, and then let's work for way up.
Okay. Yes, when I was 6 years old, I actually had a dream about the end of days. And I felt like that what I saw was, in fact, something that was going to happen in my lifetime. And that set me on a course, really, my entire lifetime, trying to figure out what it was that I saw that was so devastating as a young child. Because, you know, I grew up in a little South Georgia town, a little farm, I was a little farm girl, and seeing something of that magnitude at 6 years of age was really quite amazing. It was one of those things that we didn't have things on TV that would make you think about the end of days. But the fact that I was able to see something and felt like it was very significant, it really started making me ask a lot of questions at Sunday school, a lot of questions to, you know, pastors and things, and they could not answer it. So then really by the age of 13, I was already involved in trying to read the book of Revelation, and I found a book by Hal Lindsey called The Great Late Planet Earth, and so all of a sudden everything's just started coming together. And so really since that time, I've really been involved with trying to research end of days. And so this led me through my doctorate degree. When I was working on my doctorate, that I had several professors that allowed me to be able to do some theories of light and the end, Alpha and Omega. And so that's kind of led me to where my research is today. I mean, it started back in 1999 with my first publication of my first book. And from that point on, I've been really actively involved in trying to figure out the days and what we're living in and what's going to come to pass. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say, when I first started all this, there were little bits of nuggets, bits and pieces that I was able to bring together in those first books. But now we're seeing things escalate to the point that you can't even keep up with it on a global scale. So it's really been prophetic to me to be able to see it when it was a lot apart from each other. And then over the course of 40-something years now of doing research like this, to be able to see it come closer and closer together, like what Scripture tells us, like it'll be a woman in travail, and that these particular things will start happening in greater numbers, with more intensity, and closer together. And what I'm noting now in the work that I'm doing is that we're looking at historic things, unprecedented things. And I think that's the most important thing about all of this, is that in the past, yes, there were earthquakes, and yes, there were hurricanes, and yes, there were viruses and things of that nature. But what's happened is those things have gotten closer and get together and with greater magnitude. And I think that's the thing that is so inspiring to me in my work, but it's also scary because it's really telling you that what biblical scripture told us from the very beginning, and that John on the Isle of Patmos, according to the book of Revelation, which he wrote, is really come to pass in our generation. And I've always felt that it was going to, but Daniel, I'll tell you this. This coronavirus, really, when it first manifested, I told one of my best friends, this is different. This is something that's almost apocalyptic. And it's going to be different. From the very get-go, I began saying that. And I said, you know, it's almost like the hair on my arms would stand up. Doing this research and being able to put the timeline and perspective together over a long period of my lifetime, you know, I was able to say these things are going to come to pass based on the research that I've done, okay? Mm-hmm. But when you see something that you know is different, then all of a sudden you feel this, like, this is not like everything else has been up to this point. This is absolutely something unique, unprecedented. And so when I started seeing this, then, of course, my thoughts are is that we're ending a period of time in which we know the season, according to scriptures, right up to the really opening of the seals and the, you know, horsemen of the apocalypse and things like that, that we're getting to the time now that we are going to start seeing these things faster and faster together, and now we're seeing that happening. And so the next things that happen are the vials and the pouring out of the vials and the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the manifestation of an antichrist. I mean, all these things are now really on the table as the next events, because all the other stuff has come to the point that we see it just getting closer and closer and closer together. And when that happens, then the time becomes very short. It's not long periods of times or, you know, years ago like it was when I first started this. We're looking at time periods that are very, very important to be paying attention. And the more that you read scripture, I mean, even if you go back into the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Micah, some of the Old Testament prophets, you will see all this playing out. And I think one of the biggest things that we see right now is in Matthew 24, when Jesus himself walked the earth, and he specifically said, these are the things that you're going to see when this starts happening. And I think we're seeing every bit of that.
When you talk about your first prophetic dream or revelation that you got, or understanding of the, obviously talking in future tense, was there any resemblance to what's going on now, or were they sort of a general theme of biblical prophecy? How did that roll out?
No, what I really saw was complete devastation. I saw that something that hasn't happened yet, but that is prophesied to happen when you have an escalation of war, the Valley of Megiddo, where you're going to have a second coming and the Battle of Armageddon and all that. The things that I saw in that area, and what I believe as a child, I had no idea what I was looking at because it was so vast and so open. But the fact that there was actually these rocks that were there that resemble things that are over in Israel, and then having studied this and seeing the Valley of Megiddo, where the valley of this great war is going to take place, called the Battle of Armageddon, then, you know, it's allowed me to see that that area over there in the Middle East, it is very significant, and it's not something for us to just shy away from and not understand, because now, you know, for the first time in our history, we had a president be able to establish a type of peace plan for the first time that was not politically based. It was economically based. And the fact that we are now in a coronavirus situation, and where economics are a major playing factor in, you know, centralized banks and those kinds of things, and the fact of, you know, world economic collapse, then we have to stop and say there's a possibility that some countries would be willing to sign something just to get economically back on its feet. So for the first time in our history, we're looking at proposed plans that may bring about a new world order, that will bring about a new world economy, that will bring about someone that's going to rise and be the answer to all of our problems. And according to scripture, that man is going to be an antichrist. So before, when I was putting these things together, you know, I could see how that was leading up to what would be an end of day scenario in which everything would be destroyed and would be very horrific. And so what I saw was that kind of battle, that kind of thing that's going to end up being like that. And the fact that, you know, scripture tells us that there's going to be a million man army, that there will be a walking across the Euphrates. Never in our history until now, you know, we have an Aswan Dam that was built. So we can draw that up. The kings of the east can come across. You know, we're looking at China and all the coronavirus that happened over there, but they still got their army. You know, and we are having to manifest our military to help us here. And, of course, we know that Trump called up, you know, additional people in the reserves to try to do something in our communities. I mean, we're setting ourselves up that there could be a march for the Middle East like never has ever happened before. And now that that's happening, and the fact that we may not have the capability to be the big United States as we have been in the past. I mean, there's always been that question that why is not the United States mentioned in Scripture? And a lot of people have theorized, well, what happens to us? You know, and I've always said that, going back and doing the research about the Civil War, that our Constitution really wasn't re-ratified and that we are still tenants to the Queen. In other words, Britain still owns us, and that's why we've always had this British connection, and whatever we do, the British are always involved in it. So if that's the fact, then let's just say that looking at a 10-world union of some manifestation, which we have a G20 right now that's kind of overseeing stuff. But, you know, the other day when all this started happening, you had the UK, I think the past Prime Minister, Brown, I think is what his name was, he was like, well, let's get the G20 together. It's got 20 countries, and let's let them manifest and try to oversee everything. And he was essentially talking about putting together a new world order, a new world economy, everything to combat this coronavirus mm-hmm. on a global scale. Mm-hmm. Never have we had anything of this magnitude, Daniel. So I think right. it's really significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I don't really try to take sides here politically. I mean, I can say what I know. And then some Democrats have expressed that this is expediting their goal for a Green New Deal, works right in to their plan. But in your initial prophetic dreams, you saw destruction. But did you?
I saw destruction. I saw terrible destruction. Destruction I've never seen.
Are we talking about nuclear? Or nuclear? Or
I think it was even worse than nuclear. You know, looking back at things, let's just say of the atomic bomb and things like that I've seen pictures of, and really observed what the landscape looked like and what it was like. You know, with the pictures that were taken, let's say, of Hiroshima and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. It is so much more devastating than that. And it leaves darkness in a way that I can't even, you know, it's kind of like when you have these prophetic dreams, it's difficult to talk about colors because the colors are so different than what you see like in the normal world. The colors were more of a magenta and an orange and the fire and the blackness. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there was not any sound, it was almost like there was no sound of wind. There was no feel of wind on your face. There was just this odd silence. I mean, it was unreal. And as a child, 6 years of age, and thinking that you're the only person left and you just seen all of this, I mean, that was really unreal. And, of course, I think I mentioned before, I might have mentioned on the show that I did with you earlier, that I was scared. I mean, it was like being so afraid. And then I looked to my left and I saw behind me these huge blocks. And they were like jagged up and they were huge. Mm-hmm. And so I went running for that because that was the only thing left standing. And it looked to me in pictures of what I have tried to find that particular block and how it looked. It looked like the Temple Mount blocks that you see on the Temple Mount, okay? Mm-hmm. And I went running to go around that. And there was what I believe was Jesus standing there. And he was in white. He had kind of blondish flowing hair. He had a beard. And he had this gold thing around, like a sash thing around his waist. And he was looking out over that. And he had this sad, just overwhelming, like, sadness. And then, you know, I was so glad to see somebody. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm not by myself. And when he saw, he turned to look at me. And, of course, his eyes were piercing blue. I mean, it was like, if you could imagine Paul Newman's eyes 1,000 times greater. The blue was just piercing. And it was almost like he was emanating this love that you could feel. It was like I could feel this presence upon me. And, of course, if you've ever been scared as a little kid and you just really were so afraid and then all of a sudden going from that kind of terrible fear and seeing what you've seen to somebody that has that feeling, and then he just looked at me and says, I'm with you always, even until the end. And then all of a sudden, I felt this total, like, wow, you know, this kind of feeling. And then all of a sudden, my eyes opened up and I was sitting up in my bed. And, of course, I went running down the hallway to my grandparents' room. My grandparents were in the room next to us, past the bathroom. They lived with us in our old farmhouse. And my grandmother was like my confidant. She was like my, I actually thought she was my mother as a little girl, but she was like, I was like, mommy, mommy, mommy. And I'm waking her up and I'm like, so like, please listen to this. And of course she did. And she listened to what I was saying, but then she tried to take me back to the bed and try to get me to calm down. And I'm just saying, I got to go to the church. I got to go to the church. It's important I go to the church. I'm 6 years old. You know, this is just, you know, I'm old now.
No.
So back in the day, yes, back in the day of 6 years old, I mean, we didn't even have a telephone in our house. And we were talking about a long time ago when we had one station on the TV. So it wasn't like I had ever seen anything of this magnitude. And it was probably mind-boggling to her, because when I would ask her questions and ask the pastor's questions and my Sunday school teachers, they would go to my mother and my grandmother, where does Troy come up with these questions? You know, what is she seeing? So anyway, I really immediately, as a child, started processing this. And I've never forgotten it. I mean, it's like it's just real. I mean, any time that I've had any kind of prophetic dream or something that I knew in a dream was going to happen, you don't forget it. It's like it was there yesterday. And so because I couldn't get these answers, I really began trying to figure it out myself. And so that's what led me on this quest my entire life. And my entire life has really been based on trying to figure this out. And I was thankful that I had a father who was a historian and knew the Bible very well, and he would debate me on things. And so when he would, you know, come up with questions that couldn't be answered, then it would make me try to find those answers. And now, you know, I think it's paid off because of the research that I've done and the books that I've written. You know, they're very detailed, Daniel. They're very researched, and I explain in the pages. I tell you where I got this information, where it came from. I put the biblical scripture there so that there's not a question. You don't even have to have a Bible. I've got the scripture, King James Version original, and so when you read through my work and I tell you something prophetically that is coming to pass. Mm-hmm. And so much of it that I started writing about back in 1999 has really come to pass. I mean, these things with the viruses and all these hot viruses and how they were going to escalate, mm-hmm. and the way that the earthquakes and stuff. So, you know, it's not something that I just took and said, I just want to write a book.
Right.
This is very serious information to me. And something I don't want to make anybody feel was just to make money, because the last thing that I was doing when I started doing this was answering questions for myself. And there's one thing about me that most people know. I like to know the truth. Even if it hurts, even if it's bad, whatever, just tell me the truth. And so I'm not going to fool myself. When I did the research, I wasn't going to say, well, you know, Joy, let's just fool yourself about this and write a book. I really wanted to know the truth of the matter. And everything that I've researched has been to know the truth. And I noticed that you've got up about the UFOs. I mean, that's something that I've had an interest in since I was a child, and actually wrote about the first time that I actually ever saw a UFO as a young girl on the back of a motorcycle with my father when I was about 8 years of age. So, you know, those kinds of things have been important to me, not to go, oh, we'll put it on a back burner. It probably has nothing to do with anything. You know, if you listen to the people at the time, it's all a hoax, or it's, you know, conspiracy theory or whatever. But what I found by the research that I have been doing and really diving into it in a way that I didn't want to fool myself and I really want to know the truth, I've come to the understanding that there is something here among us. And it's been among us really since we were created in the Garden of Eden. And I talk about that in my books as well. So there's this manifestation that, you know, I have had an understanding about, that we are not alone. And then, of course, with the research that I've done on near-death experiences and things like that in case studies, I've been able to see that, you know, when the body dies, you are still alive. When you step outside of your body in a situation of death or in a near-death experience, when you look at yourself, you still look like you. But your body would be laying there, and you won't really understand that you can't feel what it's feeling, but you know that body is you. and you still have your mind, you still have what you look like and everything. You can hear everybody saying what they're saying. You see what the situation is, and you are still you. So the fact that I have had an ability to have so many case studies on this and have met so many people who've had this happen and been able to get a grip on the fact that we just don't die, then it makes it kind of all important to know that if there is some significance to this, then we live forever, then we need to be paying attention to what the Creator gave us a manual to know about. And most Christians, you know, if you ask the question, have you read the Bible all the way through? Most Christians have never read the Bible all the way through. And it's God's manual. I mean, would you and I go down and take a driver's license, you know, get a driver's license without reading the manual? No, we want to pass the test. But that's the problem. Christians are not reading the manual.
All right, Doctor, we've got a few questions we'll get to real quick. And one of those from Jim Taylorson says, do you think that Wormwood, the asteroid, is in described, or do you think it's coming our way as described in Revelation 8, 10, 11?
Oh, I do. And I think that's probably the reason that you see the Vatican put their big telescope out in Arizona called Lucifer. And I wrote about that in the book Eden that you have behind you there on the screen, as well as the Begal series. That telescope is on Indian reservation land, and they have to get a permit to walk across their own land in that area. So the fact that they had to position it out there, it seems to me that they must have an idea that what where this wormwood is at, this asteroid star is going to come from, probably it's going to come from behind the sun so that we don't know it's upon us until, like, it's on us. And so many of the asteroids that we're starting to see now that I keep up with, and we used to could get a printout from NASA that now they don't do that anymore. They don't give you that information. The fact that, those asteroids are getting bigger, closer together, we're having some hit the Earth and that kind of stuff, you've got to pay attention that if wormwood is out there, they know it's coming. They know it's going to get more and more asteroids as it gets closer to us, but they're watching. I mean, NASA has a whole area of satellites that are off the East Coast, and they have connections of, like, what I call eyes in the sky and eyes on the ground watching the heavens. So it's like they're watching for something. And the fact that the Bible tells us that at the end of days, we can expect to see wormwood, and it's going to get rid of a third of everything. Yes, I truly believe that it's on its way and that they're watching for it.
In Revelation in Revelation 18, it talks about Babylon's fall, and just to read a quick passage of that, it says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, mighty city. And the key thing that I'm reading here is, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. The coronavirus has completely stopped the world, and in time, it's basically an hour. You know, I mean, it's just like everyone's life is gone. That was a month ago, and I don't know if they'll ever come back. But that just shows you right there how that everything can stop instantly for any reason. So that does indicate some prophetic parts of what's going on here. But now that does talk about smoke of her burning. Now that could be financial burning, that could be your livelihood burning, your job burning. I mean, am I reading something into that by saying those could be, or is it a literal burning, say from the wormwood when it ignites one third of the grass?
Well, when you have wormwood come in, that kind of comes in before this other. And when you talk about the burning, I think you're going to see this kind of happen with the type of battle that's going to happen because of what I saw in the prophetic dream. I think that this burning is going to be much greater than any nuclear war that could possibly be. And I think that from what I saw in that dream, everything, I mean, Daniel, it was just unreal. I mean, it's so unreal that it's hard to put it in perspective. You know, if I had a movie like Armageddon or something that I could say, well, you remember this part of, you know, the movie, and it was like this and this. It's just so much more than that. It's just so much more than anything you could have ever imagined. So it's kind of scary.
Sort of like that in the background there.
The colors, that's too bright. I mean, if that occurred, if it was an explosion like that that occurred, it's not like that. It's almost like it is complete annihilation. Like, this takes a long time to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw was instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
It was like destruction, like boom. It wasn't like clouds or anything of that nature. It was like, it was just unreal. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, so it's hard to describe it because I've never seen anything just be destroyed and it'd be like 1 second and then it's just, it's destroyed. So I think, you know, at the Battle of Armageddon, we're going to see some terrible things really happen on this earth. I mean, you know, that's when everybody comes against, you know, Israel and all that's over there in the Holy Land. So the fact that it's going to be of that magnitude, and the fact that you've already got wormwood that's hit us, and you've already had the asteroid that, like it is, come in and destroy a third of everything on the earth, including the water. I mean, it's already in a mess. So, you know, when you've been around anything, let's just say a cesspool, imagine that just a billion times over, a chemical cesspool. Mm-hmm. It is unreal. I mean, for example, a good example, I think, would be like if you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, where we know that biblically it was, you know, supposed to be at and that kind of thing. And everything was just pillaged instantly. I kind of think that's this the way that the end like that is going to be just poof, boom like that. So leading up to that, it's going to be terrible things. I mean, the Bible tells us every day as we get closer to that time period when God comes back and is a part of all that, then it's going to be to the point that the Bible says if for really no flesh will survive unless the days are cut short for the elect's sake. In other words, flesh can't make it through it. And right now, for the first time in our history, we're seeing that flesh can't hardly survive a coronavirus epidemic. So you think about that and the pestilence that's going on around the world and the famine that's fixing to really hit us because we're so busy with the coronavirus. Most people are not keeping up with these huge swarms of locusts that are just devouring everything. I mean, it devoured so many of those countries over there now that where they were exporting stuff, they're going to have to import stuff. And then you've got like Australia that literally burned to the ground, and they're the breadbasket of the world, providing things like corn and especially the wheat production. They're not going to give any exports. They're going to have to import for themselves. Well, now what happens with that? With the coronavirus, they're going to start hoarding everything and not sharing it and not selling it. They'll keep it because they know that famine is going to come upon the earth. So we're seeing the cesspool get worse and worse and worse. It's not going to get better, and that's a terrible thing that I've had to come to grips with.
Okay, in Revelation 6:1-8, it talks about the fourth horseman, which is it's the pale horse, and there's an interesting part of this I want you to comment on. It says, "And the name of him who sat on it was death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth." Keying in on beasts of the earth, because many believe that in Wuhan they were eating some sort of beast of the earth, probably uncooked, raw, who knows, bats or rats or cats and rats, right, or elephants, as sure as you're born. Maybe it was a unicorn. But it does appear as if death comes by that. You could technically say death has come by the beasts of the earth.
Well, you know, in the past, we didn't really have a lot of situations where you have transmission from animals into the human population. But as people have manipulated things, genetic, you know, manipulation, we've seen more of these things turn from like bird flu into human problems and SARS. And then we we saw the epidemic with the West Nile virus, and then we had, you know, just little things creeping in where it was changing itself from just being in the a population of mm-hmm. animals, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden coming into the population of the of humanity, and then causing problems. I mean, there's things like Ebola. This in the pig or the African swine problem. I mean, there's just all kinds of issues that are happening right now. But yes, I do agree with you that it's almost like, you know, the animals are suffering in great numbers. In mm-hmm. fact, you know, when I started tracking this back and I did a complete book in the Begal series on nothing but trying to track things when I did that particular volume two. It was so much of it, I had to just quit writing back then. And so now we're seeing it even escalate more and more and more and more. So, yes, mm-hmm. there is a concern that why all of a sudden when we didn't have a problem are we now having a problem? And I think that some of the things have been genetically modified. I think that some have been created in labs. I think that they can be chimeric. In other words, they hit, you know, both animal and human. Mm-hmm. And then with that chimeric capability, then it's not – it's not a normal situation, so you can't go after it in a normal way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing with this coronavirus that's so weird mm-hmm. is that.
By the way, I read today that the first case of a cat, I think it was in the UK, a first case of an animal getting it was cat in the UK. Bill sent a question to you and says, Doctor, could wormwood be a false, instead of a planet, could it be a false gospel that goes around the world to deceive people?
No, I truly believe that it's going to be what the word says it's going to be. There's nothing in the Greek that tells me, you know, lots of times I'll take words that are in the Greek or if they're in the Old Testament in the traditional Hebrew context. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely a star that's coming and it is going to hit this earth and it's going to destroy a third of everything. So yes, there's major destruction, and that's why you see a lot of these very elite people, you know, dig in underground bunkers and things to try to survive, because that they know is coming. I mean, if you look at biblical prophecy and you go back and you look at scriptures, what's interesting about this is that the Bible's 100% correct. I mean, on everything that we've been told is going to happen, it's happened 100% correctly. So if everything has been 100% and we were betting people out in Las Vegas, then we would be betting that this is going to happen just like it says, because everything else has happened. So I would say mm-hmm. it's going to hit us, and I'm not so sure it's just not right around the corner. I mean, mm-hmm. I know we've got this comet that's coming in called, I believe it's called Atlas, that we should be able to see with the naked eye sometime around the end of May, the first part of June. And it's following the same trajectory as the Great Comet did many, mm-hmm. many moons ago. So the fact that we've got something coming in that we're going to be able to see is probably going to be a little bit better than what we maybe thought Hellbot was going to be like. You know, it's only going to get greater in, mm-hmm. in more numbers. And the thing about it is, when I first started looking at the sky, I've always loved the sky as a child. Living on a farm, it was dark, and you could see the Milky Way every night. I mean, you just had perfect viewing capability. I got my first telescope when I was like 8 years old. And so it's always been important to me to watch the sky. So I've watched a lot of meteor showers. I mean, people would laugh and say, where have you been out? I mean, did you not sleep last night? You know, I had to get to work the next day. Well, I was out on my balcony all night long watching, you know, meteorites. And what I've been able to see over the course of years and tracking these and watching these is that at first you would have like little tiny flakes of stuff and you had to really pay attention and that kind of stuff. But now the bolides that are coming in are much bigger and they tend to have a tail that will run long ways, and you can see it stay lit up in the sky for seconds, and sometimes even longer seconds, it'll stay there. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit more unique, and the fact that those are getting where we are catching them on YouTube and videos and stuff like that, and you see the explosions, and it's like a daylight setup. And you know, when the Great Comet came through, it lit up the daylight. I mean, it made it, people think it was daylight. So there's just a lot of things that I think are going to get greater and greater, and that's some of the things that I can honestly say from a researcher and seeing it myself, I can honestly tell you there's a difference. There's been a change. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people, go out and watch those meteor showers. They advertise and tell you when they're going to happen and where they're going to be located.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a while ago about perhaps a somebody coming on the scene worldwide as a worldwide leader to sort of rescue the planet type of thing. Could that be an alien?
No, it won't be an alien. The Bible says that the person that's going to be recognized is going to be a false, well, there'll be three. There'll be a false prophet, there'll be the red dragon, and then there'll be the beast. And according to the book of Revelation, this beast is a man. It specifically tells us it's a man, that his number of his name is equal to 666, and that was in the Greek. And so that person, or those three beings, the false prophet will be a man, will look like a man, the red dragon will look like a man, and then the beast will look like a man. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we're dealing with, you know, the gray aliens and that kind of stuff and that and mm-hmm. what's going to happen. We're actually going to see three people arise that we think that the world will be fooled to believe are somebody among us that has this great answer and capability that we have all wanted. I mean, it's one of those things that the scripture tells us that these people will be able to bring fire down from heaven. They'll be able to do manifestations of miracles in the presence of the world. So, you know, growing up, everybody, even, you know, if you watch the Harry Potter series like people did, I mean, everybody wanted to have a wand and make something happen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you see that the Bible is telling us to be prepared, that there is coming a day when these three things are going to be here mm-hmm. and they're going to look like men. Mm. But the interesting thing is it says that out of the mouth of those three things comes something that looks like frogs.
Whoa.
And that's the interesting thing in studying. I guess one of the reasons I always studied the UFO phenomena as well mm-hmm. is that most of the beings that people see in the UFO phenomena are reptilian, and they typically are frog-looking, so they have a little bit of that frog skin, especially the little three-foot little aliens with the big heads mm-hmm. typically have a gray color, and their mm-hmm. skin looks kind of froggish and that kind of stuff. So the fact that the Bible tells us that out of those three beings comes something that looks like that, I think it's a little significant, and I think mm-hmm. we need to be paying attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they won't look like an alien like that standing before us. They will mm-hmm. look in the form of a man
mm-hmm.
standing before us.
In the effort to prepare oneself, how is that done for the things coming upon the earth?
Ooh. Well, you know, the Bible tells us to look up, that our redemption draweth nigh. If you're saved and you're a Christian, then you have the hope and the faith that mm-hmm. what the scriptures have told us are going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that if it's going to come to pass, mm-hmm. that these particular things are going to happen. Because it doesn't say anywhere that I've ever found, I know a lot of people like to believe in a pre-tribulation in which the Christians don't have to go through mm-hmm. anything. My research does not find that.
Mm.
We'll go up to a certain period of time. I believe we will know who the Antichrist is. Mm-hmm. And then there is a period of time in which the world goes through a silence. There's silence in heaven that I believe that the catching away, because the word rapture does not appear in Scripture. So mm-hmm. the catching away, as it's talked about in Scripture, would occur, and the Christians would be taken out as the bride of Christ into the bride's supper and the marriage of the Lamb that happens in heaven before the second coming, when in other words, we would come back with Christ at that particular time to the Battle of Armageddon, which I believe happens with the destruction like I'm telling you about would occur. And at that particular time, every knee will bow. When that happens and he comes through, then every knee, every person will see him. It won't be something that we'll hear about it over here or hear about it over here or CNN's carrying it, whatever. It will be instantaneously where everybody will see it.
Mm-hmm.
The catching away is a little different because it is based on the Jewish belief of a thief in the night. And that is something that happens where people don't know. One minute somebody's here, the next minute they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be two people mm-hmm. in the field, one will be there and one will be gone. So So the catching away happens before that, but I truly believe it's after the identification of the Antichrist. And then, of course, we know what Scripture says, that there's going to be martyrs and that Christians are going to, you know, have to pay a price. If you look at the particular disciples, you know, every one of them died a martyr and very tragic death. So being a Christian is not going to necessarily get you out of a situation of possible getting your head cut off or having to fight a terrorist and have to say, I'm a Christian, and die at a guillotine or whatever. But the thing about it is the promise of eternal life if you have to go through that. But like I said earlier, if this flesh is not, flesh can only endure so much.
Mm-hmm.
So if the time's not cut short, then that flesh is not going to be able to be saved. Well, I know that the bride of Christ is going to be saved because Scripture tells us that. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to happen, that there will be a ceiling of 144,000 that are left here to go through this battle of Armageddon, and that during that time, those are 12,000 of the 12 tribes that were the original 12 tribes of Israel. So, and of course, Israel became Jacob's name, so it's Jacob's lineage. But those particular people are sealed in their foreheads. And I speak a lot about that in some of my books about the pineal gland, because I do believe that the pineal gland is what's being affected. And if the pineal gland is being affected, then it can biologically control you through somebody manipulating it at a distance. So I believe that those people were sealed. But it says in Scripture that they're going to have to die as martyrs. Mm-hmm. And if they die as martyrs, they immediately are caught up, and they go right on into heaven, where the marriage supper of the Lamb is with the bride of believers that are already there. But I guess what I'm trying to say, being a Christian does not mean that you're not going to have to go through the suffering. I mean, there's plenty of cases right now with the coronavirus of people who were in church that have got the coronavirus and died. You would think, well, if they're Christians, why wouldn't God just not do that to Christians? Mm-hmm. We have to remember we live in a fallen world. And he smiles on the good and the bad. But the fact is, if you're a Christian, like I mentioned earlier, focusing on the fact that your reward is eternal life in a heavenly place. And that's the key to it all, is where is your soul going to end up? Regardless of whether you die from corona or you die from a plague, it's going to get worse, a pestilence. Or whether you die from an asteroid coming in, or whether you die from the Battle of Armageddon. I mean, all those kinds of things, we all know we have an appointment of destiny of death. Now, if you're caught up in the catching away, then you are changed instantaneously and you don't die. In other words, your body becomes a resurrected body in a twinkle of an eye, just boom. And that could happen. Because I feel like, because of the season in which we're in, that those kinds of things are coming down the pike. I mean, they're getting closer and closer to us. We're not looking at, 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years away from us. I think we're seeing it happen so fast now that the time period, instead of it being like apart from each other, it's all right down to the wire.
So at what point do you see all flesh will stop being saved?
Well, I think that when the catching away occurs, this is very important, and I think that's why the parables of the 10 virgins are so important in biblical scripture, because 10 of the five of the virgins kept their oil lamps sealed with oil, and five let it go out. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that it refers back to a feast in which the trumpets were blown on the wall when they would see the little crescent of the new moon coming up. And nobody knew when. They knew it would be in a couple of days, but they sat on the wall waiting, and then they would blow their trumpets, and everybody would run to the temple, and then you only had a certain time. And if you didn't have let's just say it always happened at night. If it was at night, back in those days, if you didn't have oil in your lamps to get them lit, you couldn't make it to the temple. Well, you had so long to get to the temple, and the temple doors were closed. That means you couldn't get in. So that's telling you, like, the catching away. If you're not keeping yourself focused on God, living according to what Scripture tells you to abide by, then when He shows up as a thief in the night, as a, for this catching away, if you don't have yourself prepared to have that happen to you, then you're going to be left behind. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be like the Left Behind series where you're going to fight an Antichrist. I'm just going to tell you, at that point, when the Bride of Christ goes, the 144,000 are sealed, and unless you're of those 12 tribes, you're not going to be sealed. And to be able to fight an Antichrist without your pineal gland or this forehead being sealed like that, you will not be able to fight that. And so I'm always saying, don't think that if this other happens that you might can make it in later. I really think if you do, it will be so amazing. In other words, I think that minds, that your ability to comprehend is going to be seared because of the research that I've done with this pineal gland. I mean, you can be controlled like a robot. And that's what, you know, you've got a little transponder in your head with this pineal gland that has quartz in it. There's like a transistor radio. So it receives and it sends. And if somebody has the capability to remotely, let's say, make your heart speed up, make you pass out, do weird things, make you hear voices in your head, there's just all this capability technologically that I talk about in my books that can be done to that pineal gland. So I would say, if you want to make sure that you can be saved and that you're going to make it in heaven, be saved now. Do not wait. Do not wait.
Don't sound like people need to hedge.
Don't sit here and go like, I think I got a little more time. I think the time's getting down to the wire.
Yeah, I would say times are kind of getting down to the wire there. I noticed President Trump was talking about whether or not he's going to open up America again. And then he said the interesting thing. He said that if we don't, if we allow this to continue, there's going to be more deaths than would be the virus. And what he was basically saying was suicides. And then that instantly reminded me of the scripture that says, you know, people saying their heart stopping for fear of the things coming upon the earth. And if you look around, you know, like, you know, you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. And maybe they looked at their retirement, their 401k, and see it's gone now. And I imagine there's always this thing about Wall Street, people jumping out of windows when they have massive losses.
Oh, yes.
But I'm just wondering, does that sort of fulfill that prophecy that men's hearts?
Yes, I do think that that's the very case, because like today I was watching the news and they were talking about that where we've got the teledocs that are handling like emergency medical kinds of things online, they're now needing therapists for mental health problems, because what we're seeing is that when you have something so terrible start happening, and you don't, let's just say you don't understand biblical scripture, you've never heard about biblical scripture, you've never heard about end of days, then like you say, stock market falls out, you don't have this, am I going to have food? And you get into a panic mode. What happens is that we revert back to the lower functioning of our bodies, and we become beast. In other words, it becomes survival of the fittest. And I think you're going to see that is why Trump has just brought up all these additional military people. Because as this escalates and the mental health of not being able to deal with it, not being able, like you say, people, when the stock market crashed a long time ago, people jumped out of windows, they killed themselves. So we're going to see something escalate to the point that we've never, ever, we don't have a history to go back to and look at, well, how did the past handle this?
Well,
it's not going to be able to be done. And and because of that, I think you're right. Mental health issues are going to escalate.
Yeah, I don't find it surprising at all that he's called up the National Guard. I am surprised already that L.A. and Boston and Chicago, New York, I'm surprised already that there hasn't been mass people running down through the streets pillaging and stuff, because those central cities are just, we've seen them get triggered before. But I think now, if we see them triggered now, it's going to be on a scale that's unimaginable. I don't think that any kind of force, National Guard is going to be able to contain that kind of thing when it happens. But I'm just, like I say, I'm surprised it hasn't happened. For the grace of God, he's given us a little bit more grace in that area that it hasn't happened. But the longer this quarantine goes on, those people who are unmoored from anything biblical already they're pretty, and I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine if God's not in your heart, you already might sort of be in a sedated beast mentality, just waiting. I mean, just
survival.
that's the kind of thing. That's where there is no right and wrong. That's where you can abort babies, and or you can change your body from a man to, you know, there's no mooring there, and so they're already unmoored, and so it seems to me there's just a day's outing for these kinds of people.
Yes, I do believe that, because I believe that at the end of days, the conscience is seared. And when you don't have the conscience, and like we've seen with people that are willing to kill a baby after it's born, you know, and then, of course, do some of the things where people were spitting on food, mm-hmm. and saying, I have coronavirus, or doing something to hurt somebody or laugh that somebody's got that disease. We're to the times of what the Bible told us would be like the spirit of Cain. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the spirit of Cain, it has no concern for its fellow man whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there God was when he said, you know, where's your brother Abel? He says, am I my brother's keeper?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's telling the creator that. So we're seeing where people are not going to care about anybody. They're not going to care about their mothers and dads. They're not going to care about their family members. It's a selfish thing. And if it means killing you for me to survive, that is an animalistic thing, and that's a mental health issue,
mm-hmm.
that when you get so stressed can lead you into mm-hmm. that. And I'm like you. I think that Trump made the comment that he may put a little bit more, I guess, tighten the belt around some of these particular places where coronavirus is completely mm-hmm. out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he does that, you know, the next step is martial law, Daniel. And when martial law comes in, you know, it suspends the Constitution. It takes away everything we got. We don't have accessibility to, we don't own anything. And let's just say that if I'm correct, that this country is really owned by the Queen still, then you are a tenant, and they're going to tell you to go down to the post office and get a number. You don't own anything. And if money fails, they've got this specific thing called Bitcoin set up that's underground, that is in total cyberspace, and they reset everything, and they may say, hey, this is the only way to get it restarted. You know, we're going to give everybody $2 million. Let's just hope that's what it is. Probably $500. But in bitcoins. And for you to be able to buy, sell, or trade, you got to get a mark. Because that's the only way that we can be sure it's you.
Mm.
Never in our history have we ever come to a time that could happen worldwide, but we are there.
Right, and really, it just happened, like I said, in an hour's time. I mean, just, you know.
That's right.
It's gone. I mean, there's a funny, let me put this, I don't know if this comes up, and we'll see if I can put this up here. This is a little kind of a funny thing somebody sent me here. You might know this guy here. He's used as a meme. Let me see if I put that up. Yeah, this guy here. This is a meme. It says, remember going places? That was awesome. So that's what this guy says. He always says that was awesome. But that was a day. There was a time when we could go out, and now we can't. And so, you know, everything did change in the twinkling of an eye.
Got people who have not got the ability to, I mean, we are humans. We weren't really made to be locked inside of buildings. I mean, we were made to be outside. We were created in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take and you put people on top of each other in little bitty cubicles and you can't get fresh air, I mean, our body is filled with water. You know, we need air and we need sunlight. If we don't get those things, then we break down. We literally physically break down. Mm-hmm. And anybody that's ever lived in areas where there's not a lot of sunlight, you know, there's a thing called cabin fever, but what happens is you're not getting the sunlight, so therefore you can set up mental health issues from that. So that is a concern, that in the inability in these big cities to be able to get outside without, and you can't be 6 feet away from somebody. There's no way for you to be 6 feet away from somebody. Even in little South Georgia where I live at, and thank goodness I live out, you know, in the country a little bit on a lake area,
mm-hmm.
I can walk out on a deck and get a little sunlight and get a little fresh air. But not everybody's able to do that, and especially places like in China where they're like ants, India, and they're all on top of each other. I mean, those kind of places don't have the luxury of being able to sustain life in a way that we, our body needs it. It's a concern. I mean, it's, it's a major concern, and it sets up being willing to die or kill somebody to get something to better use. And once that starts happening, I mean, just look at this. For example, in New York, was it 10% of the police now are infected or sick? So let's just say that the military starts getting sick, the police force starts getting sick, your healthcare workers, well, I think it was Boston, they had 150 healthcare workers get sick. I mean, so right now, you can see the destruction of the system that keeps us in check. Mm-hmm. You know, Christianity, never in our history have we've not been able to go and worship at a church.
How is it that we can't go to church, but we can go to Walmart?
Oh, I'm going to tell you, you know, in our area, they have, put in a curfew. And then they've said if you've got a building that's, say, X amount of square footage, you can only have so many people inside of that building at any length of time.
Right.
But I agree with you that any touching of buggies and products and all that is only going to allow it to spread even more if we're being told correctly that it can live on surfaces for, you know, lengths of days.
Mm-hmm.
And that instead of it just being maybe a cough, but that now it's more aerosol, so it may stay in the air up to 3 hours. It just doesn't go like in a droplet and hit the ground. I mean, there's things about this coronavirus that seems a little bit different than any plagues that we've ever seen in the past. Mm-hmm. And it could be that this is a plague like when Pharaoh didn't do his thing in Egypt, that God brought upon the Egyptian Pharaoh. It wasn't a man-made thing. It was a God thing. And once it's a God thing, trying to manipulate it or fix it or find an answer to it, you may not be able to because it's a plague of God. I mean, it's a wrath situation.
Now, is the corona, would it qualify as wrath of God?
See, I think that's where this is different than anything that's ever happened before. I think we're seeing, again, that four horsemen of the apocalypse, that we're seeing the types of plagues and pestilences that we are seeing. And anything that's what I call historic, unprecedented, has never happened before like this. Mm-hmm. I think there's where we can say we've gone from the pre-tribulation kind of stuff into a tribulation time period.
Ooh.
And I think that we're in the tribulation time period. We're not in that pre-stuff anymore. That we're actually in there, we're going to see the bowls and the vials and the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We're going to see that start happening. And I think this is the beginning of that. The bad thing is, it's just like we've heard several of the CDC people talk about, is that if we get through a period and we go over a hump and then we drop down like we do typically in flu season, and then it just resurfaces back up, it'll come back with a greater vengeance because, like everything that would be genetic, it's going to mutate itself, and then what we've been able to use before won't be able to work again.
Okay, now I have a question for you on that. They were talking about the virus, and they said that this is an unusual virus in that it sort of mutates itself. And then the doctor was going on, he was just casually talking about it, that, you know, it wants to regenerate, it wants to spread. And then, but I was getting this message, though, while he was saying that, as if the virus had a mind, saying, you know, the virus knows that we've kind of tamped down previous versions. We're at 19. I don't know where 18, 1 through 18 are. I just know we're at 19. But it's saying it wants to spread as if it had an intelligence. And so it's trying to evade human measures to stop it. So it mutated itself to get around us as if it has an intelligence. Is that possible?
And I think it could very well be. And that's the thing that makes me think this virus is different than anything before. You know, it's not like the Ebola. It's not like the Marburg. It's not like, you know, the historic things that we've seen from, you know, the past. What we're seeing is something that is entirely different. And I think if that's the case, then we've got to look at these are the things that we're told about what happened right before a catching away, and then a very bad, terrible time in which all these things are going to be just on top of us, on top of us, on top of us. And so, yes, I think it could be a plague of God. And that's a little bit different than just, you know, a virus getting out of hand or a bacteria getting out of hand. I think it can be something, like you say, it has an intelligence factor behind it that keeps us as humans from being able to stop it. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Pharaoh could not do. He could not stop the plagues. There was nothing he could do to do any of that. And when you think about, you know, the frogs and the locusts and then the death angel, I mean, what protected the children of Israel and when that Moses took out of there was that they took and killed a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. And that meant that their children were saved. But the first child of all the Egyptians died that night. You know, that's something that, how do you stop that? That's of God. There was no way to stop it. It's just like when he allowed them to go and to get to the Red Sea and Moses there and they part and the Red Sea parted as God directed him and they went across. I mean, it was like there's Pharaoh's army coming. They've already been through the pestilence, the famine. They've gone through, you know, the beasts of the field doing what they did, the Nile turning red and everything dying in the Nile and their firstborns dying. And then they pursue them and then the entire army of Pharaoh drowns. So it was like, hey, you can't stop the process. And so I feel like we may be in that process right now, Daniel. Mm. So we can't stop the process.
Mm. All right. And we were talking about preparations. Let me ask you. Somebody, you say you're prepared, and I don't know if you're talking, I know that you're talking spiritually preparedness. So do you believe in physical preparedness as well?
Well, I mean, it's like everyone else. You should, you know, have food and water and things that you mm-hmm. need, your medicines and stuff, to be able to get through this. I don't think there's any problem in going and getting those things to sustain life, no different than if we were having earthquakes or fires or flooding or whatever. But the thing about it is, if you think that this is going to get better, if it's starting into this end time stuff, like I just mentioned, this is only going to get worse over time. And I know people have dug bunkers and people have dug holes in the sides of mountains to go and mm-hmm. to protect themselves. I mean, there's a part of the Bible that talks about that the hail that's going to start falling is like huge tons of rocks. And, you know, the one thing I noticed over in these hailstorms lately is the huge amount of the ice that's fallen out of the sky. I mean, it just damages cars and vehicles and houses. I mean, it comes through the roof of a house. I mean, we're already seeing that's getting bigger and worse. So if you look at that, then, you know, you can think, well, I can dig a hole and I can get in it and... But then if the floods get worse, then if you're in a hole, you can't stay in the hole because of the floods. I mean, it's just going to get to the point, mm-hmm. like I say, in Scripture says, if the days are not cut short, no flesh can make it through this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're heading in that. So I'm not saying that people should not be responsible and go out and buy their food and do whatever. I mean, we have to continue to live until God calls you home.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to be aware that, you know, possession before has been really very important. You know, what kind of car, what kind of house, you know, how much money I make, da, da, da. Right now, that's not really that important when you're fighting a foe that you can't see. Mm. And literally, that's what we're all fighting. We can't tell if we've got that on our hands. We can't tell if it's out there in our car. We can't tell if it's on the buggy at Walmart or on the can you're picking up at Walmart. You can't see the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're fighting against something you cannot see. And I just always think about this. Biblical scripture says we do not fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers in high places. And the only way that we can survive that, it says, is we have to turn to Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I fully believe that if we're starting that apocalyptic time, this is going to escalate. And of course, I said that when I was putting these books together and doing my research, that we were going to come to a time like this. I believe we're at the time.
Mm. So
and I think we need to be prepared, but I think we're at the time. And so what is your greatest asset? What if you really stop and think, what is your greatest asset? It is your soul. Because you can't take the gold. If you're trying to get gold or silver or whatever, because you think that's mm-hmm. going to be something we're going to be going to afterwards. We're not going to gold and silver. We're going to go to something that's going to be in cyberspace that you can't touch, and somebody's going to make you take a mark to be able to buy, sell, or trade, or mm-hmm. get any kind of health care or whatever you need. So if you think laying up, what the Bible says, you lay up all these things, that's not the important thing. Your mm-hmm. soul is your most important asset, because your soul lives forever. And it's like I said, it looks like you. Your mind is still there. When you step outside of your body, your mind is still with you. And so if that's the case, then the thing that you need to be paying most important right now attention to, have I got my soul where I want it? Am I feeding my soul? Am I protecting my soul? Am I keeping my soul as close to God as I can keep it? So if he decides to come in a rapture or a catching away, I go. If he delays that and I have to die as a martyr, when I die, I go. If he is going to have us go through, you know, an antichrist that's going to do terrible things to us as Christians, can I stand and say, without a doubt, I'm a Christian, and if I have to have my head cut off, I can stand there and not give in. You've got to have that kind of built-up faith mm-hmm. and knowing to be able to save the greatest thing you own. Mm. And if you do, Daniel, then it's forever. It's not like it dies. You know, mm-hmm. that was one thing that I used to talk about, people talk about, well, you know, if I'm not a Christian, it's just lights out. Mm-hmm. Well, the law of thermodynamics proves that it's not, because the moment that the egg and the sperm come together, there's an electrical spark that we can now see, you know, with the microscopes. There's an energy that's formed, and it never dies. Once energy is formed, it never dies. Mm-hmm. So your soul is of God. It's never going to die. The Bible tells us that. It's mm-hmm. going to be judged. So you just want to kind of read the manual, look after your greatest asset like you would your car or your house or whatever, and be prepared every second for what is to come. Because it's just, you know, I don't like to be the bearer of bad news.
Too late.
At the same time, it's the truth.
Too late.
The truth is truth, you know. The truth is the truth, as bad as it hurts. And I don't like it, you know. Mm-hmm. I would like to be able to live 40 more years and do things and feel good and, mm-hmm. and travel and do whatever. But that may not come to pass for humanity. And I think on the first time, we're on that edge of not knowing what's coming next. Mm-hmm. And if we look at Scripture, it's not good.
Mm. What's the next thing?
Good.
What's the next thing you see happening? We've got the virus going on. We've got, like you said, the locust that's just devouring whole countries out there. What do you see? What's next?
Well, we've had the floods. We had the earthquakes. You know, the one that happened up there in Utah. I think we're going to see a lot more trembling of the earth. You know, the one that happened down in Jamaica the other day that kind of shook Miami. We've had some in Georgia that's been closer to the area where I live that has never happened. So if you look at global earth, you can see how those are escalating. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. And then, of course, I think just looking at today here in Georgia where I live, you know, we were at almost 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. 90 degrees. Wow. March is unheard of. Ooh, so your temperatures
hot.
By the time June and July get here, I think we're going to see those escalate. So we're going to see more probably either floods. We're going to see more fires. We're going to see more food loss. We're going to see more animals dying. Like you mentioned, the cat now that could have this particular coronavirus. And the fact that we're going to see huge amounts of death happening. And then the other thing, and of course I've researched, is, you know, the Antichrist stepping into the scene. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's pretty interesting that the old Roman Empire that is supposed to resurge itself at the end of days is actually the old British Empire. And so the British owned the lands that were once the old Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. And I find it interesting that because of that, we now have the Queen and Prince Philip having to back off because of the fear of the coronavirus. I mean, they're
mm-hmm.
in their 90s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you know, she mentioned, I think back in 2018, that in 2020 that she planned to probably step down.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
And then we know that Prince Charles has come down with the coronavirus, mm-hmm. and now Prince William has been put in place to kind of manage the affairs of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in my research, his pedigree on paper matches the pedigree that we see lined up for an Antichrist
mm-hmm.
From starting in the book of Daniel. So I find it interesting that everybody was like, well, how can he come to power? His grandmother's still alive. His dad's still alive. He's kind of third in line. But right now he's on the scene.
Mm.
So I think it's important to pay attention to the fact that he oversees the old Roman Empire mm-hmm. as the old British Empire, for which their mm-hmm. son never sets on mm-hmm. British land.
Prince Philip was quoted as saying, if he's ever reincarnated, he'd like to come back as a virus and kill off a large part of the population. Do you find it ironic that is Charles his son, and like you just said, he got the virus? Is that karma? Uh-oh. Got a lock up here. Must be the wrong question. The man didn't want to ask that question. All right, let me see what to do here. I think we lost her. Certain questions you ask, man, the man don't like. Here, let's give her a call. Let's get her back on here. Skype wouldn't let me answer that. Just call her up. One of them, I think we're calling each other. Here we go.
Hi, Daniel.
What?
Just a minute. Let me see if I can get back. Hey, I didn't know whether to keep talking or what happened, but is that not a little bit weird? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we got to the wrong question.
Yeah. We may have gotten to the wrong question. It's funny that many times when I start discussing that or the pineal gland on radio shows in the past, the it would drop. I mean, I have had that happen so mm-hmm. many times
oh, yeah.
doing this research and talking about it. So, yeah, there's a real concern about what he said about the virus and the fact that he would like to be that. I find it very, very, very interesting that we now have William in place. And mm-hmm. I don't think that you're going to see, just as Diana said,
mm-hmm.
ever see Charles be king. I believe it will go and allow William to be king.
Well, you sort of called that one.
Yes, and the thing about it is, you know, people go to my website and look at the research that I've done, and it's just quite amazing that the pedigree matches what biblical scripture tells you about the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is in the image that John the Revelator told us would be, the beast would be in this image, this iconic image.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus was here, he specifically said that they're going to be saying that there's Jesus here and Jesus there. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, he felt like somebody could look like him, act like him, bring fire down from heaven, and do miraculous things. So I think it's really important that, you know, it's not a guess. It's based on it's based on scriptures, and it's based on the research. It's not based on me just saying I think it might be this person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go through every avenue of who is over this particular group of people, these ten kings. And when you look at what, like I say, the G20 has 20, but then when you look at the old Roman Empire and who's over that, who has the money and who has our health care system in his back pocket, well, let's figure that's Prince William. So all this kind of stuff has a connecting situation that I think people need to be paying attention that of all the things that could happen, he steps forward. He's like in the limelight.
Just like
he's
that.
He's going to handle it just like overnight.
If we rewind time, just when it was first announced, virus was in Wuhan, it seemed that the entire world reacted almost instantaneously as if they knew it was more than just a normal virus. Were they aware that something was coming, or did they know this is it? I mean, how did everybody seem to know this is the one we've got to deal with rather than every other flu virus out there?
Well, you know, I first started looking at this, I think it was the end of December that I think I got something in on my email. And it kind of had a little bit to do with the fact that there was some significant deaths that were happening. It was a type of pneumonia. And the doctor that was trying to make comments about it was having difficulty, I think, trying to get information out or, you know, contain it or whatever. And I think that's the first thing that I heard about it. And then, of course, I saw the article that came out, I think, in the end of January, maybe, or maybe the first part of February, mm-hmm. about the Harvard professor mm-hmm. that had the biological capability and was mm-hmm. working with some biological agents and that kind of stuff. So, you know, the fact that I had seen all that, and the fact that I've been waiting for the perfect storm where it becomes not like a normal virus, it becomes the apocalyptic kinds of mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that made me pay attention, because I've always felt like that we've done so many things genetically, we modified so much that we were going to reap our consequences of playing God. And I think we're seeing some of that from some of the things that have happened. But at the same time, where we have been screaming global warming, you know, it's coming from the carbon or whatever. You know, I've already shown in my research that these changes are going on in the sun, moon, and stars. There's things happening on Mars and on Saturn that there's no people up there. There's no, you know, there's no carbon emissions causing that. And so I don't think global warming is from humanity. I think global warming is exactly what End Time said it was going to happen, mm-hmm. that we're going to get to the point of fire and burning. And, you know, the first time was flood, this time is fire. And I think we're heading in that direction. And like I say, I can't imagine what June and July are going to be like for temperatures this year. And I think, you know, already they're mm-hmm. saying the 2020 hurricane season, they're already predicting it's probably going to be unprecedented. Mm-hmm. They will see more of these terrible hurricanes mm-hmm. that are going to be devastating. Well, what happens with all this? Our FEMA is already devastated. Our insurance companies from our last hurricanes have not really recovered. Now we've got the coronavirus on top of it all. So, you know, as these things escalate, we don't have the resources to fight it, to get mm-hmm. over it, right. to put roofs on buildings, to refix things. It's unprecedented. It's historic. So I think all this stuff, Daniel, and it's a sad thing in a way. If there are people who don't have any hope and they don't know where to turn and they don't know what to do and they're scared. And I'm going to say that panic and that scaredness, like we talked about a while ago, it's only going to get worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a Christian, but I'm scared because you don't know how is it that you're going to meet your destiny. You know, you don't know that. So the only thing that I can say as a researcher from studying all this is that I believe that God gave us a manual. He told us to do these things, to confess our sins, to turn to Him, to believe in His Son Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, to look to salvation from Him. And if we would do that, that He promised when He left from this earth that He was coming again to get us, and that he had gone to prepare a place for us, and that heaven is real, but so is hell. And really, if we stop and think about it, we've walked through this earth from the time that we were born to a destiny. And the ones that came before us, they had to make the decisions too, because I can't make your decision, you can't make my decision. But I think the greatest decision that you will ever make is about your greatest asset. And your greatest asset is the soul that lives within you that still thinks that it looks like you, and it's still going to be in heaven you. You're going to be known as you were known. Scripture promises us that. So the choice is, do we make a decision to live our lives crazy? Or do we say right now, God's given us a chance to look at this, to see the truth behind it, and to really, you know, if you're not a Christian, become a Christian. And if you are a Christian, become a better Christian. You know, that's the hope of all of this. Because that's what the Bible says, the only way out.
Mm.
It is the only way out. There is no fighting the Antichrist. There's no winning the game against this stuff. When it starts happening, just like the Pharaoh, there is no way to win against it.
Mm-hmm.
No way to win.
Do you think that this coronavirus is transmitted just by sort of shedding? Or do you think it's been airborne? Because it seems to me there were cases in the middle of the country where maybe somebody never even met anybody and they got it. I mean, do you think it's flying across the planet, or is it just person to person?
Well, I'm going to tell something that I had observed, and that was that it was too fast to spread the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that it's in the air. And I had written about a situation where farmers went to kill, like, birds, like huge numbers of like chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And they used a particular foam in the air that suffocated the chickens. In other words, they changed the oxygen content of the air. And mm-hmm. it would, of course, affect the chickens that were sickest the quickest. And then the more healthier ones, it may take a little longer for them to suffocate with this. But the thing that interests me is that I have a friend and Nevada last night who called me and asked me, was I seeing these particles at night if I took a flashlight?
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out, and I had seen this in a spotlight a couple of days ago. It looked like it was raining in the spotlight, but I kept trying to feel of it, and I couldn't feel any mist, and it wasn't rain. But it was so thick, it looked like mist in the beam. So I would tell people, if this is what's happening, to take your spotlight outside, and instead of looking down the spotlight this way, turn your spotlight this way and look through the beam and see if you see what I'm talking about. Last night, we looked at people from Germany, from Arizona, Nevada, and several other places, Florida, and they were all seeing it simultaneously. That these things were going on, but we don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's some phenomena that's been there and we just recognized mm-hmm. it. But, you know, with the 5G coming out, and they're saying 5G affects the oxygen content molecule in the air, if that's a possibility, then the ones that don't breathe well will have more problems. And the ones that do breathe well may survive.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the high temperatures down where you're at. Here in Indiana, we basically didn't even have winter.
We had, I think, twice that I had to leave my spigot stripping, and it never really got down below 32. And I think we had one major frost. And this time of the year, we would have had, when I was growing up, we had icicles hanging on the houses starting from like October mm-hmm. to the end of March. It was cold weather, very cold weather.
Back in the good old days.
So we've seen a significant change in our weather patterns that are unprecedented.
Do you think this, as people have found out that they can't control whether or not they can get toilet paper, when in the past they assumed they could, and that for many that's a shock or gargantuan proportions, do you think that there might be any sort of revival coming out of this when people finally realize that they're not in control and they need to call on a higher power to get them through this?
Well, I think that the Bible talks about that there's kind of like a final revival, and it may very well be something like this that makes people to stop and think that we're living in the end of days, and it's time to get your life in order, because the time, instead of it being, like I said, years and years and years, that time period has gotten closer and closer together. So, like you mentioned, it's short. And I think it's important. I think it's the most important thing that you can do. I mean, out of all the things that I see, mm-hmm. the only thing way to make it through this is a Christian, because everything else is going to be a bad situation. And you don't want to end up in hell, because that was the place that God actually first developed for Satan and his fallen angels. I mean, that's why it was created, to put them there. But then they've been with us since Eden, and they're trying to destroy us and have been a part of destroying us, the demonic forces that are here. So the only way to get past that is to really turn to Jesus. And his blood is the only thing that saves. And, you know, when I was doing the research, especially on the UFO phenomena, mm-hmm. when people were having what they call visitations, or they believed they were being taken from their bedrooms or visited by aliens, the only thing that would stop an alien abduction was the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you cried out Muhammad, if you cried out any other name of a god, Confucius or whoever, it didn't stop. You had mm-hmm. to cry out in the name of Jesus mm-hmm. for it to stop. And we know that Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he cast out those demonic beings. So they've been with us the whole time. It hasn't changed. You know, they are here. And so, like I said earlier, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We might think we're fighting against each other, but we're fighting against a principality that's been here. And it can't, it's something in the spiritual realm. It's just like this virus. You can't see it. So this stuff you're having to fight all the time. And I think the only way that you can live to fight it is to have Jesus in your life. I mean, I just don't think there's another option. I don't think there's another way. It's either him or not.
Really, I don't really know what people cling to when they, if they believe in nothing. I mean, you know, hope is a tangible thing that can cause people to live beyond their life expectancy or through the trauma or trials that they're going through. And somebody, and in fact, I think I read that when people get lost, it's not that they die of lack of provision. They actually die of lack of hope.
That's right. And if you don't have hope and you don't have your anchor set, the Bible tells us about that. If you don't have your anchor set in the rock, then you don't have the hope and faith to get through something. You do. You literally do die. And there's case studies that proves that psychological game that goes on like that you die of fear. Mm-hmm. You die of something that really should have never killed you.
All right.
So it's very serious. Mm-hmm. Very serious, Daniel. And like I say, I appreciate you so much allowing me to be on your show to talk about this, because I just think that it's a time like we've never seen. And the research I've done all these years to see it coming to this kind of crescendo, I mean, it's there's just not words to explain it. It's kind of like what I saw at the end of my, you know, at the end of what my dream was like. It's just bad. It's really bad. And so I guess that's why I feel so and have felt so much of the need to try to tell people about this and do the research and write about it and talk about it, so that maybe people will stop and think, well, you know, what is really important to me? What is most important to you? Because God created us in his image. We're his children. He wants all of us in heaven. He does. But we got to choose him. He's not going to, he didn't make us robots. He's not forcing us to love him. He's not forcing us. We have the choice. If we love him, then he is willing to be there and accept us. And he died on the cross, trying and hoping everybody. Because it says God sent his son not into the world to condemn the world, but by him, you know, we might be saved. But we have to choose. It's our choice. You know, it's like having, you know, a child. You want them to love you because they love you, not because you can make them into a robot to love you. And that's the same thing with the Creator. He created us in his image. He wants us to love him, but he gives us that freedom of choice. If we don't want to be with him, fine. But if we do, his arms are sitting wide open for us. And I think that's how you get through what we're about to go through. It's to keep in your mind the Father's hands are wide open for us.
And That's a good way we're ending this show, with that hope right there for those, the hopeless out there and those that are in fear. Hopefully you'll take your words to heart there and turn to the living God and accept Christ as their Savior. Dr. Joy Pugh, I appreciate you coming back on the Edge television broadcast with These Days Like They Are. Can we have you back on again sometime?
You sure can. You just let me know when you've got another open, and I'll be glad to talk about what's happening at that point in time and share my research. I don't mind doing that at all. I thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. God bless. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.